everyone, welcome to the Chika Travel Podcast, your number one stop for everything travel. My name is Lelo Boyan. This week, I am joined by Lerato Bambo. Lerato has been working as a digital nomad for over 5 years now, having lived in four different continents. She also runs a blog called Life from a Bag. And in there, she shares everything you need to know about leaving South Africa to go live abroad. I asked Lerato to talk to me about her experience living in Bali, and this is part one of our conversation. The second part will come out next week, and in there she shares all about her experience living in Dublin in Ireland. So be sure to come back again next week, please, so you don't miss that one. It's going to be a good one again. So here's my chat with Lerato. I hope you will enjoy it. Hello, Lerato. Welcome to the Chika Travel Podcast.
Hi, Lelo. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yay, I'm glad you finally made it. The last time I saw you was when we were coming back from our trip to the Western Cape.
Yeah, that was such an amazing trip. I was looking at the pictures actually today, like, you guys need to plan another trip soon.
Actually, COVID now is now stressing us, so that's why I'm not
no,
sure.
No, I'm ready to like meet you guys at Old Tambo. Let's go somewhere.
So, but just talk about that. Like, you just decided, Khori, you're going to go on this trip where you don't know anyone except me. And even me, we hadn't met. We really just knew each other from social media. So what was that all about?
To be honest, I do that all the time. So for me, this was not the first time I travel with strangers because I do that all the time. But when I saw the trip, I was like, yo, okay, why not? And then that was it. That's it. It's something that I normally do. So yeah. I like when I'm in different countries, I go on like walking tours, then I meet people and we do stuff together. So for me, that's kind of normal. That's how I make friends.
Yeah.
And meet like travel minded or travel likers rather.
I think I could see that with how you interacted with everyone on the trip. I mean, you didn't know anyone, but you know how you just gelled with everyone, and it showed Muto Okraetse or traveler, so it came through.
I'm a travel like recovering travel addict. That's what I always say to people.
Yeah. So you've lived in like multiple countries. You've lived in Ireland. You've lived in the US. You've lived in Turkey. Where else?
I've lived in Bali as well. And then now I'm back home for now.
Until you go back to Bali again. Because I've been on a business.
Yes.
And, you know, talking about you and running a business in Bali, in Jan last month on social media, there was this big storm about this American expert who was actually deported from Bali after tweeting about how Bali is like LGBTQ friendly, and that, you know, she lives in a tree house and she only pays $400 or what. Did you follow that story?
Yes, I did. Because so firstly, I'm in a lot of these expat groups on Facebook for people who live in Bali. So everybody was talking about it. And even on Clubhouse, there was an actual full discussion where this girl came in and she explained herself. So this girl is doing something that off the record, most people are doing in Bali. So there's a visa called the B211. So it's actually a social visa for tourism that allows you to stay in Bali for 6 months.
Okay.
But then every 6 months, you have to pay $50 and renew to stay for an additional month.
Only $50?
So, yeah. That's how most people live in Bali. So this visa, you're supposed to use it for tourism or cultural purposes where you're in Bali visiting or like there for yoga retreats or whatever you're doing there. You're not supposed to be working in Bali. So most people, like especially like Western people, Americans, Europeans, they get this visa and they live in Bali basically permanently. And then every 6 months they fly out and go somewhere, then they come back and just renew the visa. So a lot of people do that, and it's causing a lot of problems. Well, not really a lot of problems. It's more like they live there and then they earn currency from other countries. So they're making, like, for example, I also work for like a US company. So people, and we are allowed to work remote. So people who work remote go to places like Bali, where they earn in foreign currency, and there the cost of living is cheap. So that's why she was saying, I can live here for $400, which is kind of correct, because that's how much I was spending. And I didn't cook every day. I didn't cook actually when I lived there for the whole 12 months. And I had my own place. You have like a helper who comes to clean every day. But her, like the one thing that got her into trouble was that she was selling a book about people, telling people how to move to Bali firstly during a pandemic, because right now Bali is
the borders
officially
are closed.
Officially. And then, but
why are you stressing Bali? The officially part?
Because there... Bali's like SA, so if you pay, you can get things done in Bali, like SA, like Brazil. So basically, so what she was doing is she went on the internet and created this hype that you can come and live in Bali. Firstly, it's cheap, and you don't need a lot of money to survive here. And I've been staying here for a long time. And on top of that, she's there on the wrong visa, because for me, for example, I work, my company is a US company, and we are in real estate. So we own real estate in Bali. So I have a work visa for Bali. So I have an actual work permit to work in Bali. So there are different types of visas. And I always, like, I have an actual long blog post, because I have a blog about living abroad and all the different countries that I've been to. So I share like visa, how to get a visa, how to find a job, how to find an apartment, and like cost of living in the different countries. But so this girl, the reason she got into trouble was she was trying to sell a book on basically telling people how to get into the country illegally, when officially the country is saying we're not letting in tourists. So that's why they had to make an example out of her. That's why they deported her. But in terms of the visa, she was on a B211, which is a social visa that most people get. And anybody can get it. It's actually 700 rand for that visa, because that's the first visa I got when I went to Bali.
Is this the 6 months one?
Yeah. So I got that visa to be able to get into Bali. And then when I got there, the company and the attorneys helped me switch to a working visa.
Oh, okay.
So
on this social cultural visa, né? Do they allow you to stay there? The only thing that you're not allowed to do is to work in Bali, but if you are getting income from elsewhere, maybe working remotely, that's fine. The only thing you're not allowed to do is get in business while in Bali.
Yes, that's basically the B211. But yeah, so people, they take advantage, because I even met a guy who's been living there for 10 years. And every 6 months, he just flies out and comes back. So I feel like maybe in the future, one day, they'll change the rules. But at the moment, that's the current long-term stay visa that most people have in Bali. And you're not supposed to be earning income. But a lot of people like run these businesses where they have like, they sell bikinis and they do like a whole lot of stuff they're not supposed to be doing on this visa. Yeah. So if you're caught doing stuff like that, you get deported immediately. Like Bali does not play. Indonesia does not play in general. Like this girl I met like in Bali during my year there, she was caught with drugs, which are illegal, and you can get you can be hanged, or you can get like a life sentence. So she is currently in jail, serving a life sentence basically for being caught. She was selling. That's the thing. So there's things like that you need to take into consideration when moving to a country, like the laws. Are they because in SA, like I always say to people, if I had to get arrested anywhere, I'd rather be arrested in SA than anywhere else, because at home at least like I can speak the language and I understand the laws. So yeah, but like these are like very important things to take into consideration when moving to a different country.
Okay, so let's start then from the beginning with you moving to Bali and how you came to that decision. And you have kind of explained how you went on you really started with the tourist visa and then converted it to a work one. But what was the thinking behind moving to Bali and how did that come about?
So, I was working for a tech company in the US. And then I got transferred to the Ireland offices. And then I lived in Dublin for 2 years. And then after working there for like a while, I was like, okay, I want to go solo. I want to, because while I was doing this job, I started like a consulting business where I was like building websites for people and coaching people on like search engine marketing, which is what like I do basically. And I started my own side gig. And then I decided, okay, my side gig is making more money than my actual job. And my actual job requires me to be there like every day. So I decided I'm going to leave my job.
Yeah.
And I left my job in Dublin. And after leaving my job, or actually I hadn't been to SA in 2 years because I usually come home once a year. But that time when I resigned, it was in 2019 and I hadn't been home in 2 years. So
I decided, not to go Ireland, ne?
Yeah, Ireland is nice. I loved Ireland. I still love Ireland. It's an amazing country, but it's expensive. Well, it depends where you go. But anyway, so I left Ireland. Oh, I found a cheap flight to Russia. So I stopped in Russia and I spent a month there. And then I left Russia. I went to Georgia to go visit. And then I went to Turkey, my favorite country, where I've lived in Turkey before. I stayed in Turkey for a bit. And then eventually I came home after 2 years.
So you were just like, okay, before I go home, let me go and explore these other places while I'm still doing my side gig, you know, virtually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what I did. And then I went to Turkey. Then I came home. Mm. I was home for 3 months and I was like, yo, stay. Like, I love the idea of SA, but I don't like the reality. So I'm going to go on vacation to Bali.
Mm.
And then I booked the flight and I told my parents the day before, like, tomorrow I'm off. Guys, I was here for 3 months and I'll see you again in a year.
Mm.
And my parents now, they kind of used to it because it's something I've been doing since 2013. Like, I've always been gone.
Sure.
So I left to go on vacation in Bali and I flew via Hong Kong. And while I was in Hong Kong, I met this guy like in the lounge and we were chatting and he was telling me about like his business. And he he's basically an architect and he builds these amazing houses for people, like rich people in Asia. And he was telling me about like what he does. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm so interested. And he's like, yeah, when we get to Bali, you must like give me a call and I'll show you some of my places. So that's how I met my boss.
Wow.
And then, while we were talking, I was like, ah, this is cool. Then I was giving him like all these ideas for like marketing. And then he's like, why don't you come work for us? And I was like, are you for real? And he's like, yeah. And then within like a week, the lawyers started with the applications of turning my tourist visa into a work visa. And I stayed in Bali for a year. That's how I stayed in Bali. I was there on vacation. I literally had a carry-on suitcase because I was there for, I booked the one way.
Yeah.
I was there for a while. And then I ended up staying and liking it and like also like investing in property there now.
Wow.
So, yeah, but that's my similar story of how I lived in Turkey. So when I was like, I studied marketing here in SA. And then after I completed my degree, I really wanted to go abroad. Like my parents, I was telling them, like, I really want to go abroad. And I was saving. I had a part-time job. And eventually after I completed my degree, I saved enough to go to Turkey on a vacation, which turned into me getting a job and staying there. So with Turkey, I went to Istanbul. And while I was there, I met. So I always join these Facebook groups where you meet other expats.
I actually think that's such a cool idea to join these groups when you
yeah, I'm in like a million of them. There's so many. But usually when I move out of a country, I leave. Like the Irish one, I left. I was in South Africans in Ireland. I left that one.
Yeah, because you're not there anymore anyway.
But yeah, so in Turkey, I met up with these girls. We had like chai tea in Turkish. So, and the girls were like, oh, you speak English so well. You know, like at my job, they're looking for people who speak English. And I was like, what kind of job is this? Because I literally just finished university. Like I wrote my last exam and I didn't even know if I passed or anything. Yeah. And this girl's like, no, she works at, it's an English school. And they're looking for teachers and they pay well. They pay like, well, it's not really well. Like $1,500, which is a lot if you're starting out. And then she's like, no, come meet my boss because you speak English and they want people who speak English and you're from a country that people speak English. And I was like, I'm not a teacher. I'm not even going to lie and be like, I want to teach people. And she was like, no, but just come meet my boss and come see the school. So I went and I met the boss and I told him I studied marketing and I can help them with their social media ads and stuff like that, because that's what I'm interested in. And the guy was like, okay, cool. And then that's how I got my job in Turkey. And I stayed there for like almost 2 years. So the reason I left Turkey was because like in like back in 2013, there was so much going on, like 2013 to 2015 in Turkey. There was actually a bombing in like Taksim Square. And these German tourists died. And my parents are like, yo, let us come home. This life.
So
that was like one of my main decisions to decide that, okay, I'm going to leave Turkey. Because between like 2013 and 2015, there were like a lot, there was a lot going on there. There's still a lot going on there, but Turkey is still like my favorite country. I go back every year. I have a lot of friends in Turkey. I like speak Turkish. I just really love Turkey. It's that one place where if I could pick like a retirement place, I would probably pick Turkey, because it's also easy to get residency there as an African.
So in Turkey, is it, the cost of living there?
It's okay. Like Bali's cheaper, but Turkey, it's generally fine. So the thing about like most countries is that if you earn in US dollars, you're fine.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you're earning in like Turkish lira or like Indonesian rupiah, then you're not fine. Because in Indonesia, so my rent, so I had a place like with a pool and like a full-time helper, and my rent was 3,000 rands, which is 3 million there. So that's how much I was paying for rent. And then I was I've never cooked that whole year. I was eating out every day, breakfast, lunch. And Bali has so many amazing restaurants. Like, I miss the food there so much right now. And like now, since I'm back in S, I'm just like, yo, I miss Bali food. Because they have like all these restaurants and you're always spending less than like $10 per meal. So it's for like foreigners who are earning in a foreign currency. For them, it's like, it's nothing. Because in the U.S., with $10, you're not going to get much. My mom was complaining the other day. She was at my house and she's like, why do you only have water in the fridge? And I was like, because like Uber Eats.
Just here.
I'm always like, if it's less than $10, it's cheap. Basically, that's what I always tell myself, which I guess I should stop doing that. But yeah, so for foreigners, if you go to places like Turkey and Bali and Thailand, for them, it's, especially if you're earning in euros and pounds and dollars, then it's cheap. Compared to somebody who's earning in like rand and like Indonesian rupiah, because for them it's like the cost of living in Indonesia, it's pretty simple. Like most people, like they don't have fridges, so they go to like the markets every day to buy fresh fruit and vegetables. They live like very simple lives. A lot of people, they use bikes, they don't have cars. It's like the living, the cost, like the standard of living in Indonesia was fine for me. It was perfect because nobody dresses up. You don't have to wear makeup. You don't have to wear heels.
It's all chilled, yeah.
Like, children go to meetings in, like, bikini tops and a tank top.
Eh?
Yeah. It's so chilled. And at the office, you come in flip-flops. So, because, like, we have, like, an actual office. So, for me, it was perfect because it was, I loved living in Bali. But I didn't like, the snakes.
So
rats.
Yeah. So then, in terms of living there, what kind of person? I guess you just kind of described a bit of it now. What kind of person would really enjoy living in Bali? And I also want to get to, if I decide to go and live there, what would be the first thing I need to do if I want to go and live there and I don't have a job and I'm hopefully looking to find something while I'm there.
Okay, so firstly, the type of person who should move to Bali. So Bali, the one thing you need to know about Bali is one of, so in Indonesia is the country. Because I realize some people think Bali is a country.
I was laughing when I saw that on your blog. You were like, okay, things you need to know about Bali. Bali is not a country.
Yeah, because people think, so Indonesia basically has like 17,000 islands and Bali is just one of them. So there are so many beautiful islands and I got to explore some of them. But so Bali is basically an island and the island has different like cities or towns, if you want to call them that. And so the first thing you need to decide when you're moving to Bali is basically your reason. If you're like one of those people who want like a Zen lifestyle, you want to go to yoga and drink your health smoothies and be in a quiet place, then you should go live in Ubud, because Ubud is known for like that. It's a sanctuary kind of place. And then if you're like me and you want like that feeling of like you're living in a city and there's like restaurants everywhere and clubs, then go to like Canggu, because that's where all the digital nomads or like most of the expats in Bali, they all live in Canggu. So it's called Canggu. So the tourists who come usually all stay in Kuta. So Kuta is another part of the island. It's very expensive. That's where you find like these chain hotels and
these resorts.
What's that hotel? Hard Rock. Yeah, that's where you find them, Kuta. So Kuta is basically where we stay away from Kuta as locals. Okay, I'm calling myself a local. But Kuta, it's expensive and you find a lot of tourists. So you stay away. So as like somebody, you basically decide, okay, which part of Bali do I want to live? And then you also need to keep in mind that Canggu and Ubud are the most popular with like expats, and they're also more expensive. So if you're trying to find like a place that's even cheaper than like 3,000 rand a month, you can find that, but it's going to be like on the outskirts in other like smaller towns. But yeah, the perfect person for Bali depends on like what you need. So for Canggu, it's a party town. There's clubs, there's restaurants, there's like taco night. There's some place where you get like free tattoos on Tuesdays if you buy a taco. So Canggu is like, for me, every time I was in Canggu, I felt like I was back in LA, because I used to live in LA. It's just like this party town that never sleeps. And I loved living there because there's like beaches and I could walk to the beach and watch the sunrise and the sunset every day. And I'd go like sing karaoke whenever I felt like it, because there was a karaoke bar next door to my place. But yeah, so it kind of depends on what you want, but whatever like your expectations are, you need to, or like what you need, basically you need to decide, okay, do I want a quiet place, do I want a place where I'm going to bump into drunk people all the time and actually make friends? But it kind of depends on you. So and your budget as well, because you can find a place for like 2,000 rand a month and you can find a place for like 30,000 rand a month. So you know how luxurious you want it to be, but like even like the basics, like the 2,000 places, they all like very clean, modern, yeah, beautiful. But some people, they want like a spa in their home, like a person to come massage you every day. I had a friend like that. She had a person coming to massage her at her pool every day. And that's cheap because a massage is like $10. So people are like, ah, it's $10. In America, you can't get a massage for $10.
Not for that amount, yeah.
So people could afford to do that every day.
Yeah. So Lerato, if, let's say I'm kind of like a four-star type person in terms of, you know, where I stay. And I want to go and maybe let's say I'm taking a sabbatical from my job and I want to go be in Bali, spend 3 months in Bali. Obviously, I'm not working. How much would I need to survive for 3 months without, you know, let's say I don't have any other income. It's just me being in Bali on a sabbatical and I'm a four-star type person. How much, if I'm thinking about, okay, food and rent for that period?
Okay, so firstly, are you an alcohol drinker?
Yes.
Okay, so the problem is with Muslim countries in general, alcohol is inflated. So in Bali, like a bottle of like Sky Vodka would be the same as my monthly rent. So if you drink alcohol, then you're going to spend most of your money on alcohol. So for me, I always like hang out with the tourists because they buy you alcohol. So as a person who doesn't, if you don't drink, I'd say in a month, if you're like me and you're like eating, unless you're going to buy food and cook every day. But if like you're going out to like watch movies on the beach, like go to the cinema, do these wine painting, like doing activities basically.
Yes, activities
and,
as well.
Going to cafes, meeting people for coffees and just chilling basically for 3 months. I'd say you need about 6 to 8 grand a month to survive.
Only?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But this is if you're not going to drink every day. Because if you're going to drink,
you don't drink every day.
Boma 12, 15, because alcohol is so expensive. Like I had this friend, she's still my friend, but she moved to Thailand now. We drank once a week because your alcohol is expensive in Bali. Like it's so expensive to that point where you see that like I bought one cocktail with money that I could have bought like two or three meals. So alcohol is so expensive. So it's like you should befriend tourists. Like when you meet these people in like bars, be like, yeah, I'll show you guys around. And then they buy you drinks basically. But yeah, about like, I'd say 8,000 if you get like a nice apartment. Yeah. And then with the apartment, everything comes included. So you don't have to pay for electricity or Wi-Fi. So that I really liked.
That is amazing.
You can find apartments on Airbnb. That's where how most people rent out places. You go on Airbnb. You find an apartment, you pay for it, and then yeah, you just live in Bali. But make sure you're on the right visa so you don't get deported.
Yeah, okay.
That happens a lot actually. And don't break any rules.
Yeah, I think I wanna go and live in Bali, even if it's for a month. And I'm
You'll love it. And for a month, for South Africans, it's visa free. So you don't even need a visa if you're just spending a month.
Oh, that is amazing. So I'm going to go to Bali for a month and I'm only going to take 8,000 rand. And if I run out of money, I'm calling you.
Okay, chef, you must call. I'll call my people to come help you. But
yeah.
No, seriously, if you're like, because I had like three meals a day, so I'd go out for breakfast. Mm. And I even like was in the gym. So I paid like gym membership. And for me, I survived like the months because I have this spreadsheet because I have a podcast about buying property and investing in different countries. So I share my spreadsheets for like my expenses about where I live basically. So every time I buy something, I record it in my spreadsheet so I can see at the end of the month, okay, I spent this much on food, that much on alcohol. Alcohol was always the most expensive
the biggest item there.
Yeah, because because it's such a party, well, where I was living, it's such a party town. Everybody would be like, there's beach clubs in the middle of the day. We're chilling at beach clubs with your laptop, having cocktails while like chilling. And then at night, everybody's going to like all these clubs or like beach clubs or at the beach. There's always something going on. And you meet so many cool people. And like the one thing actually that I did not like about living in Bali is it's kind of hard to make friends because most of the people who come there are tourists. So like for me, for example, I reached this point where I was just like, hi, no, I'm tired of meeting people because you meet somebody and then they're your friend.
They're gone. Yeah.
And then after 2 months, they leave and then you have to like get to know a new person. So for me, I just reached this point. I was like, no, it's fine.
I'll just be on
and
my
then
own.
I met. Yeah, I'll be on my own. And then I met this girl who was there for 6 months and she became my friend. And she was also black, so that helped a lot. But yeah, that's the one thing I didn't like. How like it's like a temporary place. People come and go. And with like people that I like, people who are like digital nomads, so people who work remotely, they move around so much. Like this girl, she was my friend in Bali, and we'd hang out and chill. And then the next day she's like, oh, I'm moving to India. When? Wow. In 2 days. And I'm like, how? Like,
just like that.
Yeah. So it's really hard to like have stable relationships with people because they all move around. So I'm also, people say I'm the same, but I'm not really the same because I stay in, I always try
to stay. Like, yeah. I mean, you're 2 years and in Bali, you were there for a year. And
yeah.
I think you actually, when you came back, it was not coming back for good.
No, yeah, I think you just my passport.
Oh, and then you got stuck here because of COVID.
Yeah, so my passport was full and I came to renew it. And I was like counting down the days till I go back. And then Siddle was like, sorry, lockdown. And then, yeah, that's how. And then I was like, okay, it's fine. Also, healthcare is more affordable in SA. So it's fine. If I get sick, I'd prefer to be here. So that's how I ended up staying in SA.
So
and now I'm just ready.
You're ready to go. But what are they saying now about reopening, you know, borders in Bali for tourists? What's the latest?
I don't know. So the last update, they said they were going to reopen on the 27th of Jan. And then, cases started increasing. And then that got cancelled. But I can go back because I have a work visa. So I can literally go to Bali right now. But for tourists, they haven't said anything about going back. So hopefully they'll open soon because we need you guys to support our businesses and we need money.
So
you guys.
Okay. So for someone then who's planning on going to Bali at some point in the future, you know, on holiday, because I mean it's on most people's bucket list, you know, Bali. And what and you've lived there, so you've seen quite a lot of Bali, and you've seen mm-hmm. a lot of areas, you know, that people don't know about because they go to the swing, they go to.
Yeah, I've never been to the swing.
Yeah. So what other things do you think are worth seeing for someone who's going there on holiday that we probably are not being really showcased that much?
Okay, so firstly, there's swings everywhere, like, to be honest.
It's not the same swing that everybody's going to.
No, there is the specific one where they take all the tourists, but if you go to like most places, like even some resorts, like hotels and villas, they have their own swings. Mm. So I don't get the whole swing picture, but I've never been to a swing. So the Monkey Forest, I noticed a lot of tourists go to the Monkey Forest. The Monkey Forest is actually like a sacred, like they have temples there. So people, I think they just go to take selfies with monkeys and they don't really read about
what else
why that place is there. Mm. So it's like a temple. People go there to pray. And I have a whole blog about that. But basically, if you're going to Bali, my first tip is don't stay in Kuta, because Kuta is expensive. Mm-hmm. It's where all the tourists stay. Don't stay in the chain hotels. Rather book like with the local hotels, because they need the money more. Mm-hmm. And then also, or book on Airbnb. So firstly, don't stay at these fancy hotels in Kuta, because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just don't do it. And then also
don't stay in Kuta, stay where?
In Canggu, if you like party life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you mentioned Ubud. And Ubud is nice for that. We are in the middle of a forest.
That's where the Monkey Forest is. Mm. So Ubud is actually 2 hours from Canggu by bike.
Okay. You're by bike? Akuna Uber.
Uber is there, but it's expensive. It's expensive. So there's even like Uber bikes.
Oh, sure.
So you can hold on.
And then, not for 2 hours, please. My wig will fall off.
I've done that so many times. But also another important thing is that people, so for transportation, most people, you can rent a bike, so a scooter. Mm. And one thing you need to know that a lot of people don't know is that, so in Bali, basically, they don't even check your license. You're just like, I came to rent a bike and they give it to you. And travel insurance, if let's say you get into an accident and you get injured and you need like help, your travel insurance won't pay if you don't have a bike license. So it's very important for you, because a lot of people just come to like Bali and Thailand and wherever, and they get bikes and they go. But one of the travel insurance, like most travel insurances on their terms, they say you need a license to be driving a bike. So that's very important if you're coming to Bali, because most people drive bikes and then they go partying and they drink, and then instead of getting an Uber bike and holding on to someone, they drive, and there's a lot of accidents. And in the Facebook groups, it's always like, guys, this person crashed, let's donate. Gosh. They're in the hospital. But anyway, getting back to getting off topic now. But so my favorite thing to do in Bali is hike. There's a lot of great hiking spots. Mm-hmm. So there's a volcano in Bali that was my favorite, like, top thing that I did in my first week there, because when I got there, it was doing all the touristy things. Mm-hmm. So it's called Mount Batu, and then it's a volcano basically, and you hike up the volcano, and then when you get there, there's a coffee plantation where you can have coffee and like watch the sunrise. So I feel like that was one of the best things I've ever done after like hot air balloon in Turkey. That's definitely like in my top five
of things I've ever done.
So I definitely recommend doing that in Bali, and then also leaving Bali, because it's not the only island in Indonesia. So go to the other island. I spent Christmas in Gili. There's three Gili. So I don't know if it's, Gili. So G-I-L-I. So Gili, there's three of them. Mm. There's this popular like place on Instagram where everybody like has these underground, like they swimming, not underground. They are like scuba diving, and there's statues under the water. So if you search like Gili, you'll see it's popular for these underwater statues basically. So Gili is, so you drive firstly for 2 hours from Bali to the boat place, and then you get a boat for 2 hours and you go to Gili.
It looks beautiful.
So I did that for I did that for my birthday in like my last actual fun birthday in 2019. So we took the boat, we went to Gili and we spent a week there in Gili. I went with my friend and we met these people who own a hotel and they were so nice. You basically meet crazy, like fun people and interesting people, CEOs. Like in Bali, you could be like sitting in a cafe and sitting next to like some CEO and you don't even know, because that's where people come and they own homes there. A lot of American, like rich people own homes in Bali.
And you said Gili is it 2 hours from Bali, you said?
Yeah, so you drive for 2 hours to get to the place where you get the boat. And then you get on a boat and then it's like an hour, 30 minutes, almost 2 hours.
Basically
4 hours.
So would you then suggest maybe sleep over in Gili Island?
Yeah, definitely, Because Gili it's beautiful. So there's three of them. So Gili Air is the most quiet one and it only has like three hotels. Mm. It's like you literally... the only person on the island. Like, it's amazing. So I'll plug in my friend's hotel so you can stay at the Coho. It's very new. And it's on Gili Air. But yeah, Gili is a group of three islands in Indonesia. It's close to Lombok. Lombok is another popular island in Indonesia. It's known for the pink beach. So they have this beach that's pink and very famous on Instagram.
Wow.
So Lombok is another place you could visit. But it's touristy because people go there for the pink beach.
The pink beach.
Yeah, so but when you're in Gili, you should go to Lombok because it's closer than from Bali. But yeah, my other like favorite place was Nusa. So there are the Nusa Islands. So those are very popular on Instagram as well. I think I also have a photo. So the Nusa Islands, what are they famous for? For like, you know those pictures when everybody's like standing by these staircases and... okay, people have to go, we'll have to go Google Nusa Islands, but there's three Nusa Islands as well. And I have a few photos on my Instagram. They have like tree houses where you can stay and they have all these nice views. Nusa Islands is also like a 2 hour trip from Bali. But yeah, there's 17,000 islands waiting for you to come and explore.
So if I really wanna like go on holiday and see a lot, do you think 10 days, would I get bored, or is 10 days fine?
You wouldn't get bored because there's so much to do. So 10 days, I feel like it's not even enough. A month. Maybe that's me, because when I go to countries, like when I was in Russia, I spent a month there. So I literally book a one way and I have no plan. And then I get there and decide what's next. So that's why I go on like all these walking tours, because I meet people and I speak to them, okay, guys, what's happening? And then they tell me like, go to this place, go see this place. Yeah. So like Russia, I was in Moscow, then I went to St. Petersburg. And I met, while I was there, I actually met a Turkish girl. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I'm planning on coming to Turkey after this whole like Russia trip. And she was like, okay, come to my house for dinner. And now we're like friends. And she even sent me like a postcard from Turkey for Christmas. This girl is so nice. But you meet like all these cool people. And while I was actually in Russia, I met this guy from Sweden who was also on the walking tour I went on the first day.
Yeah.
So basically this guy, he was like, let's take the train and go to Finland. And I was like, dude, first of all, I'm South African. I need to like apply for the Schengen visa.
You can't just rock up
tomorrow. But like you always meet these people who are like spontaneous and they want to do all these fun things. And that's probably why I like traveling alone, because I feel like when I travel with people, they pull me back.
Of course. Yeah, because we have a plenty of...
Sorry, guys. I like traveling alone. But because then I can do whatever I want and I meet people. Like, right, if I meet somebody and they're like, let's go, like, go hiking. And then I'm with a group of people and they're like, I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just easier when you're alone.
There is so much more to it. I mean, listening to what you're saying, there's so much more to it than what we are seeing on social media. I mean, you're listing all these islands, Nusa Islands, Gili, places that are not that, that popular. So there's so much more that one can see and not just, you know, the overdone stuff.
Yeah, so whatever you like, if you like wildlife, you can go to Komodo Island. So Komodo Island is known for the Komodo dragons. And that is very expensive, actually. So actually, it's not really expensive. So you have to fly from Bali to the island, and then the boat is what was expensive, because that was $200. But I'll share some photos with you. So Komodo dragons are these dragons, basically. And it's fun because they're like walking around. It's like they're dragons, and they eat people, but you'll be okay because you'll be with your tour guide. And they give you rules, like if you're on your period, you can't go because they can smell blood. I did that. That was like the most expensive trip I did, because we had to pay for the boat for $200. Okay, I guess $200 is not a lot, but then I was like, $200, because in Bali, everything is always cheap. So this $200, but it was worth it.
I'm on Google now looking at these dragons. Like, this is actually a real thing.
Yeah, so wow. This island is another place you can go visit. There's like just a lot to do in Indonesia, and everything is all not really far from each other. It's more like 2 hours, 3 hours max of traveling. And then you get there and you see like a completely different side of the country. So, but yeah, I'm sending you photos now, but I really love this Komodo Island. It was one of my favorites. Indonesia is amazing, honestly. If you have you're able to travel and go stay there for a month, I highly recommend it. But don't stay in like one place. So don't just go there and stay in Ubud for 30 days. Like, see the different parts of the country, mix with the locals. And local food is actually very nice. Like, I miss having nasi goreng. So nasi goreng is fried rice. I used to have that. Like, I had a spot where I went like almost every day, and it's 20 rand. For nasi goreng, or I'd have nasi kampur, or they have like, it's like a buffet where you take like rice or noodles and vegetables and meat, and then you pay 20 rand. So like, that's how cheap food is like in Indonesia. That's why I never cook. And it's so healthy. It's healthy. But
so it's not like, you're eating junk while you're not cooking. Yeah. You still, you know.
Yeah, they do have like food. McDonald's and Burger King, but I've never been there.
Wants to eat a burger? Bali. Yeah.
So they have that as well if you're into that. Then you can Pizza King. What is it? Pizza Hut.
Pizza.
They have that. They have that. But I never ate there. Always Indonesian food is so good. I miss it so much. I bought actually like noodles the other day at Pick and Pay. It was written nasi goreng, and then I was like, let me try this, and it was not nice.
It won't taste like the real thing.
It was not nice, and then I was like, no, I'll just wait till I go back. But I miss the food the most, and the people are so kind, and it's safe. And you walk around in the street at 3 a.m. like nobody's gonna bother you.
Think that's the most important thing, and also cool for solo travelers, because I get questions, you know, people asking what are some of the places that one can go to alone. So it sounds like Bali definitely could be one of those places, given the safety element, and also given that it's a place where you get to meet so many other people that are also visiting, and also wanna make friends.
Yeah, I really recommend visiting Bali. It's a great island, not country. I hope people understand. But a lot of people... Okay, so I just sent you photos from my trip to Komodo.
Okay.
But I hope a lot of people take visiting other islands into consideration, because Bali is literally not the only place in Indonesia. There are so many cool... amazing places you can visit on a budget, because I always travel on a budget. Like, I'm always saying, guys, I don't like spending money, so let's try and make it as affordable as possible. Like my Turkey trip, I was in Turkey for 10 days and I did the whole hot air balloon thing, and it cost me less than $500. So I always plan in advance and I find the best deal.
$500 is a lot of money.
For 10 days.
Oh, for 10 days. I thought you were saying the hot air balloon is what cost you
$500. No, the hot air balloon was $300 out of the whole trip. So that's how affordable Turkey is.
Okay. But I'll
talk about Turkey one day, because you said Turkey is the country you've never thought of visiting, and that broke my heart.
No, not like that. I have thought of visiting Turkey. Okay, I must say it was because of a guy that I thought of visiting Turkey, but it's not on top of my list, you know? These pictures that you just sent are actually so cool. Wow.
I go to Turkey every year, except last year because COVID. But
I think when I go, I'll go with you because you kind of know. And, you know, I'm really, really thinking about going to spend a month in Bali, just, you know, seeing different things. And but I will call you, you know, and ask for your advice.
Let me know. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, Lerato, thank you so much. I think
no problem.
Awesome. I really want you to come back again. And then we're going to speak about Turkey and, you know, things that people can do there. And I know, just really expand on Turkey, because you did say it's also like one of your favorites, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite country. It's the best country in the world.
Wow. And this comes from someone who has seen quite a lot of countries. So definitely we have to talk about it. Okay, we must make time then.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Yes, my darling. I will be directing people to your website, your blog, because you have quite a lot of, you know, tips and information for people wanting to either go live overseas or even travel in general. So yeah, I will definitely be directing them to go and check all that info out. But thank you so, so much. This was amazing. I appreciate you making the time.
Yeah, I had a great chat. Okay, cool.
Thanks, my love. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also, you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.